What's going on, hockey fans? This is episode 96 of the Clapper Cast. We are recording on July 21st, right after the Seattle expansion draft. And I'm your host, Burke, and my co-host, Sean. Sean, that was a kind of a lackluster expansion draft, in my opinion. How'd you feel about it?
It was quite a disappointment for two reasons. One being that the entire, you know, the entire suspense of the night was, you know, leaked in the morning of the day, so we all kind of knew what was going to happen. And also because some very questionable picks, considering the quality of players on the board versus what Seattle ended up with.
Yeah, and especially because the buzz is that Seattle made no trades before this expansion draft. And so when Vegas made their expansion draft, you know, they did very well for themselves by kind of getting like a huge ransom from a lot of teams.
Yeah, so that's where they got guys like Marchessault and Shea Theodore.
Yeah, who were just like throw-ins, like pick this guy instead of that guy and we'll give you him. And that went very well for them. And it kind of, I think, skyrocketed them into relevancy in the league because they were able to get, you know, some of those guys turned into players that could play very well for them very, very soon. And, you know, they loaded up on picks and things like that too. So, just kind of a different take on it by Ron Francis and the Seattle Kraken. And I think the immediate reaction is that a bit of a missed opportunity there. So we'll kind of see if anything comes out and if that rumor is true, or if there was any sort of like handshake deals and then there will be a trade down the line. I hope so, because if they didn't do that, that's some of these picks, as we'll get into, are on the rough side. Shall we?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the most questionable picks seem to have come from teams that had like the best players on the board. You know, I'm looking at a team like Chicago or Columbus or Philadelphia. Those are three of the biggest question marks, like out of nowheres. And they all had some of the, you know, highest quality players available.
Yeah, very, very weird. So what our plan here is to go through each of these picks team by team and give a bit of a take on, you know, how we rate it. You know, I guess we'll go A through F, Sean, and see how they stack up. So without further ado here, let's dive into it. So to start off, from the Anaheim Ducks, they chose Hayden Fleury, D-man. I think he's, what, like 20? Really young. The older...
25.
Older brother of the Fleurys. And so, you know, they started off with a Fleury, trying to follow in the footsteps of Vegas, I guess. And so, you know, this is a guy that... Ron Francis is very familiar with and wanted to get on board. So, you know, what's your take on this one?
I ultimately think that's the biggest factor in this one. Anaheim didn't exactly have a whole lot of quality players available. So I think for Ron Francis, this is just a familiar pick. It's a guy that he's been in an organization with for years, you know, probably no better than any of the other available Anaheim players, looking at, you know, having guys like Carter Rowney or Kevin Shattenkirk and Jacob Larson, you know, similar defenders in some ways, but Hayden Fleury is a familiar one, and that's probably kind of what pushed that one over the top.
Yeah, I think this one was kind of expected, but I mean, part of me thought that they might have chosen Adam Henrique just to get, you know, a big name center. But,
oh yeah, I completely glossed over him too. But yeah, Henrique was a big name available.
I know his contract's not the best, like 5.8 until the end of 2024. But I thought they might have done that just to get, you know, a kind of a top six centerman. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think this one's fine. He's cheap. You know, we'll still be an RFA at the end of his deal, and you know, there's that familiarity. So, and the flurry factor. So, you know, trying to copy that, I guess. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I give this one like a B. Like, it doesn't seem like it's a great steal. I don't know if Fleury's going to turn into that Shea Theodore type for them, but I mean, it's possible, but he's already 25, so I don't know. So yeah, anyway, moving on, I guess, to the first one that I kind of thought was a bit of a miss, was the Arizona Coyotes. So Seattle chose Tyler Pitlick from them. I thought that they were going to be a bit spicy and pick Michael Bunting, who came up into the Coyotes like mid-season, I guess, and he got like 10 goals in like 13 games with them or something this season. You know, that's pretty impressive considering Arizona sucked at scoring again. And so I thought they would have liked to have picked him up, especially because he's a cheaper player. You know, I don't know. So for this one, I think it's like a C. Pitlick's a guy who's bounced around. He had 11 points last season. He's a center, plays the wing. I don't know, whatever. How about you? What did you think about that one?
I would have taken Michael Bunting as well. He was my pick in my kind of mock expansion draft ahead of time. Just for the prospect factor, the, you know, a breakout potential scoring forward for getting one of those for free. However, I don't dislike the Tyler Pitlick selection. So I watched Pitlick play for a few seasons when he was back in Edmonton, and I like what he brings to the game, where he's an energy player. He drives to the net, and that's basically it. He skates in straight lines, drives to the net. He's physical, and he can contribute when needed. I think he'll be a solid energy depth role player for the Kraken. So I don't dislike this one.
Yeah, there's no shortage of them on this team, though. Like,
not at all.
As we go through the list, I think that's what they were going for, is an energy depth guy. And so if they had a fifth, sixth, and seventh line, they'd be fine. But you know, someone's gonna play on those first two lines. So anyway, yeah, okay pick, but I don't know. The Coyotes didn't have a whole lot of options. I mean, the only other option was really to draft another defenseman, and they drafted a lot of those. So, whatever. Moving on, I guess. So from the Boston Bruins, the Kraken picked Jeremy Lauzon, defenseman, who is on his on a pretty cheap deal, $850K. 24 years old, plays both sides. This one I like. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's, again, a B. There's some other options that were on Boston, but, you know, they're a bit older. So I like this one to be a bit of, you know, a younger option for them. It seems to be that they were really going for, you know, size with D-men. So Jeremy Lauzon's just over 6 feet, but he's 200 plus pounds, and so kind of seems to fit the mold that they were going for, because they drafted a lot of big rigs on this team. So yeah, I think this one's probably about a B, B for me as well. What did you think about this one?
I think this was a good pick for them. I think Lauzon had a bit of a underrated season last year. He sort of made a bit of a place for himself in the Bruins lineup. He was injured for a bit, so he didn't play the full year, but you know, he was who I picked for them to take. And like you said, comparing to other potential picks where you got maybe a Connor Clifton or John Moore, you know, Lauzon's the younger option, and that's going to give you more years where he could potentially be an impact player in the lineup, especially if he can still develop a little bit further.
Yeah, so overall not bad. And then from the Buffalo Sabres, the Kraken chose William Borgan, a D-man who is a RFA. So I think Borgan's played under 20 games in the NHL, plays the right side, and needs a contract. So this one I thought was weird. This was one that when I saw it, I thought, there's got to be a deal in place here. I guess we'll see if that's the case, but I thought for sure they would have chosen Jake McCabe, or maybe Colin Miller, but his contract kind of sucks. So I just thought Jake McCabe, when he was in the lineup, because he got hurt last year, because it was a small sample size, but he looked really, really solid. And so I thought they would have chosen him. And I don't know. William Borgen seems like a random guy to pick, but there's, again, on Buffalo, there's not a whole lot of options, so I'm going to go with the C on this one. How about you?
This was one that I was quite confused on. I've never really heard much about Borgen. I don't know much about his play style or anything. Like you said, he's 14 NHL games and no points so far, but he's also a 24-year-old defender. He was 6'3", so that seems to fit that same theme you were mentioning before about the size. Personally, for Buffalo, I would have looked more at like a Cody Eakin or Zemgus Jurgensen's, just for their quality of depth play. I think Eakin was an excellent penalty killer. He's had a bit of a complete downswing and disappearance of his offensive game over the last couple seasons, but he's still kind of, I think, probably a reliable player. So we'll kind of see where this one goes, but I don't think, like you said, Buffalo didn't have a lot of great options, so it's not like they're really missing out on a whole lot by not taking, you know, Eakins or Jurgensen's instead of Borgen.
Yeah, I guess Jurgensen's was injured all of last season. I mean, they could have just chosen Toby Reeder. I mean, just for the shorthanded penalty killing and breakaways, yeah. Like he probably would have been a solid, you know, fourth line guy for them. Yeah, it's just kind of weird to pick up that guy. Like, there was a lot of good defensemen available, and so I don't understand the picking up, like, random guys who are, like, 24, 25 who haven't quite developed into, like, a full-time NHLer yet.
It seems like a theme. Like, they're taking a lot of those defenders in that age range, and it seems like they're kind of hoping that one or two of them kind of really, really jumps up into their prime just because they don't have, like, a top-end defense, especially, I mean, their marquee defender is going to retire in a season or two, probably. So they're kind of just going volume and taking a whole bunch of the same type of player to see how many of them work out and then trading off the excess.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think they're just hoping for a Shea Theodore 2.0, and it just seems like a weird thing to do when you could have just got, like, a legitimate player and then traded them for a pick or something. Like, I get it, but it just seems bizarre to me. Anyway, so weird pick. Part of me hopes that Seattle is going to go in for Jack Eichel, just to see if they can get somebody huge. But yeah, on that pick from Buffalo, I don't particularly like that one at all. So moving on here. You kind of alluded to this, but from the Calgary Flames, the Seattle Kraken chose team captain Mark Giordano, who has 1 year left at $6.75 million. He's 37 years old, but I think this one, it was kind of a no-brainer for them for the leadership and the intangibles and the fact that he's still a pretty good defenseman. And so he can pass a lot of knowledge on to those younger guys. You know, he's kind of a solid defenseman that can come in and play some minutes and be relied upon. And I know he was kind of faltering there in Calgary and his ice time went down, but just a veteran guy. And the only other choice for them from this team, really, in my opinion, was like Oliver Shillington, who was another one of those younger D-men who haven't quite gotten that, like, I don't know, full-time. They haven't developed quite as well as some other players. So I like this one. I'd say it's a, you know, as far as the options available, I think it's an A. He's probably not going to last that long. I mean, maybe he signs like another 2-year deal or 1-year deal after this, but that's kind of a good to have a bigger name guy, a guy who's won a Norris. So yeah, I like this one. How about you?
Like you said, no brainer. It would have been fun to see them do a spicier move just to kind of keep Calgary saddled with that, that cap hit for the next year here, and take like a Shillington or maybe even a Matthew Phillips. But, like you said, it's important to bring in a guy with the leadership, with the experience of a Mark Giordano into this type of locker room that is just going to be a whole bunch of random people who may or may not have ever even played together or talked to one another, just to help bring some cohesion to that locker room.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it'd probably be a similar role to what Derek Englund was for Vegas, kind of that experienced defender coming in just to kind of, you know, bring everyone together, just because Giordano's been there a long time. He knows a lot of people, and it's just a common, you know, person to relate to or be around.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, next up we have the Carolina Hurricanes, or as mentioned, the Carolina Panthers on the expansion draft show.
The only interesting part of the entire expansion draft show was all of the flubs.
yeah, and Marshawn Lynch. I like Marshawn.
I'll just put that in the flubs category.
So yeah, they chose Morgan Geeky from the Carolina Panthers. Center, plays wing. Needs a contract. This one I'm gonna give just a straight up F to. I think this one's a terrible pick. There's so many better options that were available on Carolina. I mean, like, the rumor is that they're talking to Dougie Hamilton to try and get a contract. He's a UFA, but there's also Jake Bean, who is a young D-man who is, you know, has a lot of hype about him. There's also Nino Niederreiter. There's even like Jordan Martinook, or like, there's just like so many other players that they could have picked. And so I really don't understand this one, to get like a bottom six forward when you could have got somebody more substantial. What about you?
I'm in a bit of a similar boat. I don't quite know about Morgan Geeky's development, if it's kind of like Francis projects him to be, you know, a high impact player in the next year or two here, because ultimately this is another pick that he's familiar with, being from Carolina himself, from his past organization. But like you said, there's so many better, more immediate impact options. Because, I mean, Jake Bean, he's like more of an offensive defenseman, if I remember correctly. And looking at their defense, they don't really have much of that presence. They're kind of a bunch of big bruisers. Niederreiter, yeah, he's overpaid, but he's also a legitimate top nine forward who's going to give you a reliable person just to anchor that second line or first line, probably.
Yeah, and he's only got 1 year left on his contract, so yeah. It's like, if it doesn't work, it's fine, but like, you know, at least you have a guy who can play in your top six.
Exactly. So it's kind of a weird one for me, but I guess we'll kind of have to wait and see what they foresee with Morgan Geeky's development, if he's going to be, you know, maybe better than we expect him, or maybe better than he's shown at the professional level so far.
Yeah, I don't know. This one was a straight up miss for me.
Yeah, he's been great in the AHL. I mean, he's, you know, putting up almost 50 points in a full year down in the AHL, which, you know, that's okay. But the NHL game hasn't been there yet.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, it seems like you could have just picked up Niederreiter, and if your team sucks next year, just trade him at the deadline or whatever. Get something out of them. I don't know. That one was weird for me.
And this one is also a no strings attached one. There's no trade to, you know, have Seattle avoid certain players. This is just a no strings attached. They wanted Geeky.
Yeah. Weird. All right. Well, next up, probably my worst pick in my opinion of the entire expansion draft. the Seattle Kraken chose from the Chicago Blackhawks John Quenneville, who's a forward, plays left wing, 25 years old, 750K cap hit, and he's a UFA, needs a contract. Straight up F.
Yeah.
Like, why? Absolutely. Why didn't you pick Zadorov?
Or DeHaan.
Yeah.
DeHaan had an amazing season on a garbage team.
Like, Why not pick either of those guys? Zadorov fits your profile for a D-man to a T.
Yeah.
To a T. He's like,
exactly, and he's still only 26. He's right in the age range you're looking for, too.
Yeah, and he needs a contract, too, but it's like, so does John Quinneville. Like, and he doesn't need to sign with you. He's a UFA. He can go wherever he wants. I literally don't understand this one at all.
Yeah, Quenville's basically been like a fledgling former first rounder that has never done anything. He's got like 5 points in 42 NHL games. You know, just there's not a whole lot there compared to what you could have gotten from DeHaan or Zadorov, or hell, even take Zach Smith. At least he's a reliable bottom pairing, bottom line forward.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
Or
this...
like Adam Gaudette and Vinny Hedestroza are available too.
Yeah, like it seems like just looking at the names now, I haven't looked at this, but it just seems like a lot of Canadian and North American players. There's a few Europeans, but not a lot. So I don't know. I wonder if old Ronnie is a little hesitant to go European, but like Zadorov, I think, was the no-brainer. And like you said, DeHaan had a great year. I don't know why he didn't pick either of those two. Again, like, you don't have to keep them. You could flip them. There's a lot of teams that would have wanted either of those guys. And just, you know, corner the market on D-men. You've got all of them. Trade them all out. I think this is the worst one. So definite F for me on this one. I have no clue why they picked John Quinneville. Like, I don't think he's going to just become that William Karlsson type player for them. This is weird.
Yeah, I mean, I guess too, you also want to take players to stock up your AHL team, because obviously all 30 can't fit on your NHL roster, but don't use that pick when you have other players who could make your NHL roster better. Wait for the teams like maybe Anaheim and Buffalo that didn't really have a whole lot that would reasonably help out in on the higher end, or that you didn't want on your higher end.
Yeah, and just flip guys away for those type of players where you can get like three of them for one guy or something. And a pick.
Or wait for free agency for that, because there's a ton of those middle guys who can't break the NHL but are great in the AHL.
Yeah. So that one I think is my overall worst, but there's another one that will come up later that will definitely vie for that title. I think you know which one I'm talking about already. we'll move on. So far they've got a pretty bad scorecard. They've got a couple C's, a couple F's, and one A. So anyway, moving on, Colorado Avalanche, they chose Jonas Donskoy, or whatever they called him.
It was like Donskoy.
Yeah. So Jonas Donskoy, which I like. I like this pick. Donskoy is a great player. He can play up and down the lineup. I don't know about him like a top-end player. He did fill in for players when they were injured. I know when some of the players on the top line in Colorado were out, he did fill in, did quite well. I don't know if he could sustain that, but I do like him as a player, and so I really do like this pick. He's got a on the higher side contract for like a middle six guy, $3.9 million, but he is signed until the end of 2023, so you got a bit of stability there. And so I like this one. I think out of the players available on the Avalanche, I think this is an A. I like this one a lot. How about you?
Yeah, I think this one was going to be down to Donskoy and JT Compher. The main difference between the two being that Compher can play center. I don't think they went wrong with Jonas Donskoy at all. He is a very inconsistent and streaky scoring forward. He kind of tops out in the mid-30s points. He's been consistently in that range almost every year of his career. So they kind of know what they're going to get, about 15 goals, about 35 points. And that's basically what they need is someone who can provide middle of the lineup scoring. And know, I think he's a pretty fast player. He's going to be a bit of a speed guy, but that was a good pick.
Yeah, and
it's kind of who I projected they take as well.
And the big kind of buzz around the Avalanche was like, oh, are they going to, you know, sign Landeskog? Are they going to be able to do that? And that didn't happen. I think Landeskog's asking price is extremely high. And so I think that they did a good job to do this. So moving on to another questionable pick. there's a few on the list from the Columbus Blue Jackets. And the crowd went wild for this one, I should mention, which was probably one of my favorite parts of watching it, was just listening to the crowd go like, yeah, for picks that they already knew. And they're like, you know, third pairing D-men or like bottom six forwards. it seems funny to be like losing it over like, you know, like a depth player. But I mean, they're good players too. They're some of the best players in the world. So it's just funny to me. But from the Columbus Blue Jackets, they selected defenseman Gavin Bayreuther. Yeah.
You're
and
alone
the crowd
celebrating
goes
there.
Mild. Yeah. this is a weird one. I don't give it an F because like there wasn't like, you know, a crazy top end amount of talent. I mean, like, I think everyone kind of expected them to pick Max Domi from this, but like there was even better defensemen available.
That's where I
like
go
Dean
with that,
Kukan, yeah. Scott Harrington. Like there's just I don't know how you look at like Gavin Bayreuther, a 27-year-old guy who's left defenseman, and you look at Dean Kukan, who's 28, makes 1.6, plays right D. Right defensemen are like highly sought after, valuable pieces to trade, and you're like, let's get another like 27-year-old left-handed or a left-side defenseman. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and Bayreuther, I mean, he's only played 28 NHL games. He seems to be a bit more of an offensive defenseman, which is a difference from some of the other guys where he's putting up like 30, he's putting up about 30 points a year in full AHL seasons, but he's never really cracked an NHL lineup. He's never really been a consistent part of an NHL lineup. And like you said, I mean, Max Domi's available. There's concerns about his shoulder because he's going to be out for a bit at the beginning of the season, I think. But you still have, like you said, Dean Kukan, who would probably have been a more immediate impact player for the lineup.
Cheap third pairing D man.
Yeah.
And he's right-handed or right side. Sorry. So that's great. You know, he's on a pretty reasonable deal for what he provides. Probably be able to re-sign him or trade him. No. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, whatever. This one, I think I gave a D, just because it didn't really make sense, but ultimately, I guess the difference between Bayreuther and like Kukan, who I selected in my expansion draft prediction, isn't immense, but it is enough to be to raise an eyebrow, I think. Especially if there's no side deal from Columbus being like, hey, here's a fifth round pick to not pick our serviceable third pairing guy. We want to keep him. He's a guy we like. Don't choose him. Pick Bayreuther.
I think
instead.
There's also just a big difference in Kukan being a semi-regular part of the NHL lineup over the last few seasons, playing about half the games the last 2 years and
you
know,
playoff
parts
time.
Of another couple. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also exactly, he's played in the playoffs as well with Columbus.
Yeah. So, yeah, like a bit of a head scratcher there. So weird, but not the worst, but still weird. From the Dallas Stars, the Seattle Kraken selected and signed Jamie Oleksiak. I like this one as a pick. I don't like the contract they gave him. I think my man Miro Heiskanen really helped out Jamie Oleksiak getting a nice contract, having been his D partner the last couple seasons. You know, Oleksiak's a gigantic defenseman. He's really played a lot better the last few years, you know, part partly because of Miro Heiskanen, but also because his game just improved a lot. And so I think it's a good pick. But my grade goes down because they signed him to like a 4.6, like 4 or 5 year deal or something like that. And I just think that's like, that's, you know, that's more than double what he was making before. You know, in the, he was at the expansion draft in Seattle. You know, he was one of the players who was unveiling like the jersey, blah, blah, blah. He was like, yeah, it was basically, you know, an offer I couldn't refuse. And so he was,
one of those where it's like, okay. So you got offered a number that your jaw dropped and hit the floor, and then you just signed it before reading anything. You're like, yep, I'm going to Seattle.
yeah, I'm cool with this. Totally. So, I mean, I'm happy for him. He is a good defenseman, and, you know, I like to see, you know, guys get paid and whatnot, but I don't know. He's a giant D-man. He'll be good if they make playoffs. He'd play that physical, you know, style of hockey that, you know, a lot of the people were talking about, like the Montreal's defense, how they play, similar to that. And so overall, okay, but a B because his contract pretty high. Would you agree?
100%. You know, he's kind of another one who fits that mold of big, heavy-hitting defensemen that seem to be most of the focus of Seattle's draft plan. He's going to be a great fixture in that middle pairing. I think he's slotted in right now on the second pairing with Vince Dunn. That's going to be a great combo. It's kind of a couple guys who are going to complement each other's play styles. And like you said, that contract, 4.6 per year, is quite a bit for a defender of his style. So that might be a bit of a question mark, but if they're going to get someone who's going to be a reliable fixture, I mean, he's just going to start hitting his prime years now. He's probably going to have a couple of really good seasons here for Seattle.
Mm-hmm. And then what did you think about them not choosing Ben Bishop?
I wouldn't have taken Bishop either because his injuries over the last couple of seasons, like he's barely played at all. I don't know if he's ever going to be healthy. And when there's as many good goalies on the market or available for the draft as there are, it's not really even worth it to take him because I don't know what his trade value would be to flip him elsewhere.
Yeah, that's a good point. I agree. And having not played at all last season, just it's such a question mark. And there's so many other goalies that are less risky than that. Overall, that one I think is good, but the contract is just not great. Moving on to the Detroit Red Wings. So from the Detroit Red Wings, they chose Dennis Cholowski, defenseman, who is, 23? Yeah, 23, plays left side. He's an RFA, so needs a contract. This one, Cholowski hasn't played that much, but he is young, but I think that there are, again, this is another one of those, like, let's choose a young defenseman who might, you know, break out, and that's good, but, you know, you could have got a serviceable guy like Troy Stetcher. I think a lot of people were anticipating them choosing Evgeny Svechnikov as well for a forward prospect.
And even for some immediate forward help, Vlad Mestikov,
mm-hmm.
who would be a decent, probably a decent second-line forward who can also kill penalties and play a defensive side of things as well. And is also signed for pretty cheap for next season, too.
Yeah.
Compared to any of the other options that don't have contracts. Or Stetcher is also cheap for next season, but Svechnikov and Cholowski don't.
Yeah, I mean, Nemestikov is one of those guys that when they were signing all those guys, we liked that one and said, hey, they could flip this guy for picks, you know, or whatever. Because there's lots of teams looking for a defensively responsible forward that can kill penalties when it comes time for playoffs. I don't know. I guess it's a C, I guess, for this one. It depends on how Cholowski develops. If he turns into a great defenseman, yeah, awesome pick. But if it doesn't turn out, you might have missed an opportunity to get some more picks. I don't know. Overall, whatever. Detroit didn't have a huge surplus of talent available, so it's not the... you know, a huge loss. And so for this next team, I'll let you announce this one.
So from the Edmonton Oilers, the Seattle Kraken have signed pending UFA Adam Larsson to a four-year, $4 million per season contract. This one pisses me right off, mostly because this is basically the same contract that the team offered Larsson, but he clearly wanted a change of scenery. He wanted out of Edmonton. Can't blame him for taking the opportunity to go somewhere where he's going to have a pretty big role on the defense. Very well could be on their top pairing, to be completely honest, because especially with Larsson being a right-handed or a right-side defender, like that's going to put him top pairing probably. So big opportunity for him. It really, really blows for Edmonton because now they, Larsson last season was one of the best defensive shutdown defenders in the entire league. And that's a huge hole for Edmonton to try and replace when they lose Larsson and start looking to re-sign Tyson Barrie. Seattle gets a great physical guy, kind of like another Jamie Oleksiak type, who is fearless physically. He will block all the shots. He actually has a really solid first pass and a good breakout mentality. And surprisingly, he can contribute offense on the odd occasion. He's not a particularly offensive guy, though, at all. So, good pick for Seattle. Sucks for Edmonton.
Yeah, I think, you mentioned having Oleksiak and Larsson. Like, I love that for this team to have that, like, stable, big defenseman who can eat up shot blocks and is physical in front of the net and everything. It can, their first pass is nice. Like, to have those guys on your first two pairings, like, that's such a luxury. Like, I those two guys, I think, are, those UFA signings for them are some of the real gems out of this, this whole expansion process, that they were able to get those. Because they're the same age, they play different sides, and so it's just, I think they did a really good job on those two players. And like you said, yeah, it sucks for Edmonton because, they lose, one of, if not the best shutdown guy from last season in the entire league. And that's a huge hole that they have to fill. And, they're already kind of working on their blue line a bit. Duncan Keith take up some of those minutes? I hope not. But
so here's the fun part. Duncan Keith Tyson Barrie pairing is now a legitimate prospect and a legitimate concern.
Yeah. We kind of spoke with this off of the episode, but I really hope that Edmonton's going for Dougie Hamilton at this point.
They've got so much cap space now. Yeah. They might as well toss a bunch of Dougie. He's gonna be, toss $7 million at Dougie Hamilton or something. Like, come on.
Yeah.
They need something in there.
Yeah.
I know Dougie's an offensive guy, but come on.
Get something. I mean, he's better defensively than Barrie. So
yeah.
And if you could sign him, you don't need Barrie. So, you could get
exactly
a better defensive guy that's cheaper.
Yeah, they can look to someone like Hjalmarsson on a cheap deal or something and hope he continues where he left off. I think he was okay last year when he was playing.
Yeah. So this one, definitely an A, in my opinion. Better deal than the one for Oleksiak for a better defenseman. They both have no trade clauses though. Which is a little interesting.
It's interesting, but I think it's fair because there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of turnover with a new roster. So I think it's just like kind of just to entice guys to want to sign there because it's not, might not be an ideal situation for a few seasons. Who knows how the team's going to be?
And it's
so
not it's just a sign like,
we'll
trade.
Give you this so you're consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was cool. Larsson was at the event as well, right? Wasn't he?
I don't think so.
Wasn't he? Oh. No, okay, Oleksiak.
I don't think he was.
Oleksiak,
yeah,
and then a few other players. Sorry. So yeah, that's a really good one. And then moving on to a player who was at the event from Florida, the Kraken chose Chris Driedger, and this is definitely an A. They chose and signed him. So he had a great year. You know, we've talked about this in a lot of episodes where he was basically, you know, taking the job from Bobrovsky on like a cap minimum contract, basically. So unreal. I think he'll definitely be a great, you know, 1A for them. And so, yeah, great pick. You know, there were some other players on Florida who were available, but
yeah,
Dreger's definitely the right choice.
Yeah, have to agree fully there. I mean, like you said, a couple of the other guys who got some attention, I would have looked at Marcus Nudavara and Radko Gudas. I mean, Gudas really fits the profile of what seems to be Francis's mentality, picking up those defenders, as Gudas hits about 17,000 times per game. But getting Chris Dreger, I mean, he's a guy who seems to be poised to break out as a starter in the NHL. He took over the role on occasion over the last couple of seasons, like we talked about. And to get him for a few seasons here at $3.5 million per season as a potential starter is going to be a great start, and it's going to be a good opportunity for Dreger as well to prove himself.
Yeah. All right. And then off from the LA Kings, the Seattle Kraken chose defenseman Curtis McDermott. What? Yeah.
Cale Clegg's available.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. This one's weird. Like, I guess they wanted a guy who could fight, another bigger defenseman. Yeah,
I don't have a whole lot to say on that one. I don't quite know much about McDermott. I just know he's a physical guy. Kind of plays about half the season for the Kings over the last few years. I don't see why they wouldn't take someone like Blake Lizotte even for their forwards, because he's a younger forward who seems to be doing quite well. I mean, I'm not sure how Ole Matt is doing, but there's another solid defender. I mean, for a younger defender, they could have taken Cale Clegg.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
weird. You know? I think this is one like a D, I guess. D for defenseman. Moving on, I guess. Minnesota Wild, the Seattle Kraken chose Carson Soucy. And, you know, no disrespect to Carson Soucy, but I really expected them to go for Kaapo Kekkonen, as coming off a great, you know, rookie season in contention for the Calder. Yeah, weird. I really thought they were going to pick
him. I like Soucy as a player.
Me too.
Like, because he's a solid defender. He has good underlying numbers. He's a decent defender and everything. But I think Kekkonen would have been the better pick for sheer value.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if they would have taken Kekkonen, they could have done kind of what Vegas did with defenders. They could have cornered the goalie market and started selling off some of these younger goalies that they have for players who are potentially better than Carson Soucy, or prospects that are better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, he's got a really high trade value right now, because he did have a really great year. Lots of teams are going to be looking for goalies. You know, there was a lot of other defensemen available. You know, they could have even chose Nick Bjugstad, because he plays center, had a pretty good season. Weird pick, but I do like Soucy as a player. But I just thought that Kekkonen was a for sure pick, even if they had to flip him. But I guess if you pick too many goalies, then teams know that you have to get rid of some, and so you're the value is a bit less, but strange. So a bit of a swing and a miss on that one. I give it a C, because I do like Soucy, but I really think that they should have picked somebody else. Moving on to the Montreal Canadiens. So they chose the second Fleury, Cale Fleury, defenseman who's 22, a little bit younger than his older brother. He is an RFA. The big news on this one was that Carey Price was available, and ultimately they did not choose him, which I think was the right move. But there was some other interesting names available on the Canadiens. I think the most prominent of which is Philip Deneau, who would have provided, you know, not a huge offensive player, but a very, very important, valuable, defensively responsible player.
And also a center who can play the first line.
Yes.
Which is kind of huge considering the rest of the roster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this one is definitely a bit of a stretch, you know, trying to get that defensive prospect who's going to turn into Shea Theodore again. But I really think that Deno, I mean, he's a UFA, so maybe he didn't want to go. Maybe they talked to him and he said no. But I don't know. There's more to it than like just choosing a guy and he shows up and he's like, yeah, I'll play. Yeah. But it seems like that would have been, you know, the better option. Or, you know, kind of like we were talking about, like, you know, Brett Kulak, cheap deal, cheap defender, solid guy, can play right now.
Paul Byron's there too.
Yeah.
You know, reliable third, fourth line forward. Mm-hmm. Speedy. That's kind of important. You're going to play in the Pacific Division. You need some speed.
Yeah. So a bit of a weird one here. But I don't, I mean, maybe Cale Fleury can develop. I give this one a C. I really think Deno would have been a great decision, but hey, I don't know.
Yeah, could have just been Deno didn't want to sign there.
Yeah.
Because they would have talked to him. They had the window for a couple of days to go and talk to some of these guys, so I'm assuming they talked to Deno. He wasn't particularly enthralled with coming to Seattle.
Yeah.
Or maybe Montreal's got a deal with him. They've sorted out their differences and Montreal will sign him. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? It's just maybe he will still come there. And then next up from the Nashville Predators, the Seattle Kraken chose the boy, Callie Yarncroak, as Marchand.
Yeah, he earned two nicknames here. He earned two great nicknames, yeah, boy, or what the fuck.
Yeah. So Callie Yarncroak, I like this pick. You know, I think he had a pretty big hot streak this season where he was scoring a lot. I like this one. You know, there wasn't a huge amount of players available. You know, there was, you know, Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, who have insane contracts that I'm glad that they didn't pick. But there was also Michael Granlund, Colton Sisson, Ciracco Grimaldi, Eric Howla, who had a really good year with Vegas when he got picked. So overall, you know, there's also like Yakov Trenin, who I think is a pretty good player, physical player that would have been a good energy guy for them. But overall, I think this one's a B.
Yeah, I agree. I think for me, this one kind of came down to Yarncroak and Trenin. I kind of thought about Matt Benning in there too, just being a reliable third pairing right side defender. But you get some of these consistent depth players like Yarncroak, and to get one of them in your lineup is going to be great. There's a lot of similar options there. I mean, Sisson, Talla, Cousins, Yarncroak, they're all kind of, you know, fill a similar role in the lineup, and I think they kind of they picked out one of the better ones. So he'll be a solid fixture, cheap contract for next season as well, $2 million, and he'll be a good fixture on their bottom six.
And from the New Jersey Devils, the Seattle Kraken chose Nathan Bastian, who is a winger that is pretty cheap. He's still on his, I think he's on his first non-entry-level contract, but it's pretty cheap, $714,000. He's an RFA at the end of it in 2023. He's only 23 years old. I think he played not the whole season with New Jersey, if I'm correct. Correct me if I'm wrong.
41 games.
So almost the whole season.
Yeah, and I think he only missed a whole bunch because he was injured.
Okay. So, I mean, this one's okay. I think there was maybe perhaps some other options like Andreas Janssen. There were some interesting defensemen that could have been picked. I know PK Subban was available, but his contract is garbage for 1 year. He's $9 million until the end of next season. I don't think that he would have added anything particularly valuable on the ice, but his off-the-ice persona would have been very marketable, I think, for an expansion team. So I thought they might have picked him. I don't know if Jaeger Sharangovich was available to be chosen. He's not listed on the cap friendly. So if he was, I would have liked to see them do that. But if he wasn't, that's fair.
It looks like he was protected.
But yeah, there's, you know, some other defensemen like Will Butcher that were available. So overall, I think this one's okay. I think Andreas Janssen would have been perhaps an instant addition to like the top nine. I know he's played with you know, like Matthews occasionally when he was in Toronto. So I don't know if he's done very that well in New Jersey, but you know, might have been one of those players that could have done well with a different team. So I don't know. I guess this one's probably about a B, I guess. How would you sit on this one?
I took Johnson in my mock draft. I do think he would have been the better immediate player. However, I don't dislike taking Nathan Bastian because I think he's going to be a very good physical forward. So I picked him up late in the season for my fantasy team this year, and he was consistently putting up a ton of points because he hits everything. He doesn't score a whole lot. I mean, he put up 10 points in 41 games, so that's not unreasonable for a third, fourth line forward. But the key is that he just hits everything in sight. And that's going to be, it kind of fits in again with that presence that Seattle seems to want to bring, is that bigger physical presence. And he seems to fill that role more than Johnson would have.
Yeah. And from the New York Islanders, the Seattle Kraken chose Jordan Eberle. So winger, you know, definitely a guy that will play in the top six. I don't think he can be the guy for them, but you know, a solid choice. $5.5 million until the end of 2024. He's 31 years old. Everybody in Canada knows who this guy is because of his World Junior experience. I like this one, but I think that the team that they set up, it makes a little bit less sense to me, because, like, you know, not spoilers, but for Tampa Bay, they didn't choose Palat, and I would have loved to see Palat and Eberle on a line together. I think that would have been really, really cool. So, yeah, I think this one, from the players that were available, is basically between Eberle and Josh Bailey. And so, I don't know. There were some younger players that were available, like Kiefer Bellows or, you know, a spicy pick might have been Josh Hosang. But
there you go.
Yeah, I think this one's okay. Yeah, you know,
yeah.
Probably a.
I think for me too. Yeah. For me too, this one was down to Bailey and Eberle. I leaned Bailey just because I think Bailey's a little bit more of a complete player, and he's also a bit cheaper. Kiefer Bellows would have been an amazing pick as well, just because he's a prospect who has a lot of scoring potential. And he's also quite a physical player. He would have been a great center to have coming up through the system right away. But I also understand the need that they're going to want someone who can score right now. Eberle has actually had pretty good underlying numbers the last couple of seasons, but he's also been playing in a system that probably inflates that a little bit in New York. However, Eberle does have the history of being a scorer, and he's going to be given basically he's probably the best forward on this roster, to be honest. Looking at the rest of it, I think he's probably going to be like the go-to guy. So it'll be interesting to see if he can take hold of that and kind of bounce back a little bit. He's been a bit of a downswing for a couple of seasons.
Yeah. And for the New York Rangers, the Seattle Kraken chose Colin Blackwell. This one's kind of interesting to me. Blackwell's a center. He gives it all every night. But there was also some other interesting forward options available. Barclay Goodrow, I think he just signed it, or is in the process of signing a deal that with the Rangers, that maybe the term or the cap hit was a little too high. But there's also players like Julian Gauthier that are available. So I don't know. Out of all the players that were available on the Rangers, I think this was a solid pick for a bottom six player. I think it's fine. It's not Jordan Eberle, but it's fine. So I don't know. I give it a B.
I really like this pick for the Kraken, actually. Like you said, Blackwell's an intense player, leaves it all on the ice, and I think he is primed to have a monster season given a bigger role in this team, because he's basically going to be on that second line right from the get-go based off of the forward depth. Last season, he had 22 points in 47 games. That's high-end third liner, probably. So to give him a bigger role, it might be a bit difficult if he doesn't have higher offensive guys like the Rangers were able to put beside him. But he's also going to be given... He's another year older, and I think he's, you know, primed to be solidifying his place on the second line somewhere. So I think this is a really good pick for them.
And from the Ottawa Senators, the Seattle Kraken chose Joey DeCord. Okay, this is a... All right.
I mean, let's be honest here. What is really appealing on off of the Senators lineup?
Yeah, I mean, are you going to get...
That's where I went with it.
Dadonov for $5 million for until 2023? No.
Yeah.
Ryan DeZingel for 3.3? Or I guess he needs a new deal, but no. Yeah, basically anybody you'd want was protected, so choose someone who can play in the AHL.
This was a bit of a fly. Like, I actually ended up taking DeCord in my mock draft just as a flyer. So I'm like, well, I guess they need like an AHL starter or a third stringer. You know, someone who might not really have the trade value, but he's still going to be able to fill that third stringer role, AHL starter, and also be able to back up when needed. Because he did actually do okay when he was given the shot this season in Ottawa when they were dealing with all their goalie injuries. But I think it's just a fill-out-the-roster pick. Nothing special, but it's also a kind of a someone who kind of showed he can be that the guy to step up when needed, which could also be important.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, next up is another spicy pick. So from the Philadelphia Flyers, Seattle Kraken chose Carson Twarinski, left winger who is an RFA.
This was the pick you were alluding to earlier, correct?
Correct. Yes. 100%.
I thought that might be it.
Who is this guy? and why didn't they choose one of the other players available? Anybody else? Because there was some good ones available.
This is one of the ones that I would have assumed there was a side deal. Because yes. Seattle could have taken Jakub Voracek or James Van Riemsdyk, two first line forwards with like point per game potential. And they go with this other prospect that, you know, I don't think too many people out of the Philadelphia organization have really ever heard of.
No. Yeah, this one made me laugh when the fans were like, yeah, it's like, you don't know who this guy is. I mean, like, I think JVR would have been the slam dunk pick here. You know, he's got 2 years left on his deal, so if it's not working, you can always retain or whatever. You know, he had 43 points last year, 17 goals. He's on pace for 30. You know, you've got Voracek, whose contract, you know, he might be not living up to, but, you know, it's 1 year more than that, 3 years, so... you know, he's definitely a top six player. Both these guys are. Definitely add that name value to the team. You know, but if you didn't want one of those, there's also, you know, Shane Gostisbehere, Robert Hägg, Sam Moran, a bunch of players. I just don't get this one. This one's definitely an F for me. I mean...
I would be interested because I know Seattle is taking a very heavy analytics approach to the building this team. So I'd be interested to see if they have some sort of metric that shows his development as being like he's going to have a really high ceiling. If they've got some sort of evaluation scouting reports on him that are going to show that he's worth kind of taking the flyer pick on. But
maybe,
you know, in the immediate hindsight here, it's kind of like you had the opportunity to get a first line forward on a very weak forward group that you currently have. So why didn't you take it? Or are they planning on filling that in free agency or what? But
yeah, like if they added JVR or Voracek to this lineup, like it's immediately better. Definitely an F. Definitely an F here. And, like, this could be a situation where it's, like, you know, 3 years from now, we're like, oh, my God, they knew what they were doing with that Carson Twarinski pick. He turned out to be an absolute stud when he's 26. But, I don't know. I feel like James Van Riemsdyk for two seasons is still the better decision. We'll see. So, F for that one. And keeping it in the state, Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh Penguins, they chose Brandon Tanev, who is probably going to be a crowd favorite. Already had some laughs at the expansion draft, you know, talking about his draft photo. He's definitely going to be an energy guy, bottom six, pounding killer. 3.5 until the end of 2025. I think this one's a B. There is another player that I probably would have chosen over him from the Penguins. Marcus Pettersson, defenseman. I think he's quietly becoming one of their best defensemen and was available. And I know that there's a lot of defensemen available, but it seems like they've got kind of a surplus of those bottom six forwards, and Tanev isn't a cheap one. So I think Pettersson might have been a 25-year-old defenseman on a relatively okay contract, you know, kind of the same as Larson until 2025. But ultimately, it's still an okay pick. I'm happy that I can cheer for Tanev again because he's off the Penguins. So, yeah, I don't know. A B for this one, I guess. How about you?
I do. I like this pick. I think one of the things that ended up pushing this one over the top for Seattle was Tanev's locker room presence. That, by all accounts, it seems like he's a great person to have around the organization. He's, the fans loved him, the players loved him, and kind of in a similar vein to Giordano, bringing in someone like Tanev to help be a glue guy for the locker room. I think that's the intangibles are helping push Tanev over the top here. Like you say, I mean, Pettersson's been a solid defender, but he's also kind of what they already have. So it's probably worth it to take Tanev. You know, you could have also looked at a guy like Jason Zucker, who was available. Also signed for a couple more seasons, also would have helped out the offense. But Tanev, he's kind of a high-end third-line forward, high-end energy guy. Hits a lot. He's always contributing physically. I think he also manages to find his way onto the power play sometimes. Standing in front of the net doing stuff. So I think that's still a solid addition for a versatile guy.
From the San Jose Sharks, Seattle Kraken chose Alex True, centerman, who's 24 years old and is an RFA. This one, I had never heard of Alex True. I had a bunch of other players that I would have picked. I think I actually chose Curtis Gabriel in my expansion draft, just for that locker room presence, the guy you can call up to fight. There's also like Marcus Sorensen, who's a cheap bottom six penalty killer, fast guy. There's players like Ryan Donato, who has a bit of a scoring touch. And then, some defensemen, Radim Šimek. Christian Yaros too. So I don't know. I think this is just, my ignorance of Alex True. I don't really know a lot about him, but again, San Jose didn't have a whole lot of options. So I guess picking a prospect on a team where you get either a prospect that could turn into something better, although he is also already 24, a known commodity that's, bottom six or whatever, seems a bit hard, as of an easier pill to swallow. So I don't know. Overall on this one, I guess a C. It didn't blow my mind, but it was another one of those ones at the expansion draft where the fans are like, yeah, it's like, this is a guy who hasn't played that much. Like, you don't know much about him. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on this one? Because I didn't really know what to make of it.
First, I need to backtrack on one thing I just said. Brandon Tanev does not get much power play time. He plays shorthanded more often.
Yeah, he's a PK guy for sure.
Got that mixed up. He's more of a PK guy. And second, I'm not quite sold on this pick from San Jose. I've heard Alex True's name mentioned here and there when watching San Jose games. Nothing that ever really stood out to me. I personally would have gone with Radim Šimek, as I believe he is a quite underrated but solid mid to bottom pairing defensive presence. Sharks fans seem to be quite high on him, and he probably would have been more of an immediate impact on the lineup. Just another good defensive presence that they unfortunately probably have too many of already and didn't need to use another pick on. So they're going to go with the forward prospect, I guess.
Yeah. That's kind of what I figured is like, well, we've already got defensemen. We'll just might as well pick a younger guy who might
do well. Or they eventually decided, so, you know, maybe they value Carson Soucy higher than Radim Šimek, and that's where they'd both play in the lineup. So they didn't, you know, they don't need to take Šimek, so they can go for the other guy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this is a the next one is a bit of a spicy pick. So from the St. Louis Blues, Seattle chose Vince Dunn, 24-year-old defenseman who is an RFA in need of a new contract. Definitely an offensive guy. Definitely a smaller defenseman. Can play with, you know, Jamie Oleksiak or Adam Larson, one of those types of guys, and let him play his game a bit. In St. Louis, he definitely played down in the lineup, you know, was in and out of the lineup a bit too. But didn't get a whole lot of opportunity to play power play and everything. So I think they're really be looking for him to step it up and to turn into a bit more of a point producer. I like this pick, but there was also some good options on forward. The most obvious is Vladimir Tarasenko, who is, you know, definitely was one of the best scorers in the NHL. He has had some medical issues that put that into question, but is very, very vocal about, or very, I guess, there's a lot of hot, fresh rumors that he wants out of St. Louis due to how they handled his surgeries on his shoulder, or how it had happened like 3 times, and a huge name in the NHL. That was an option. There's also, you know, Jane Schwartz, Mike Hoffman, Sammy Blah, some other guys as well. So I like the Vince Dunn pick just because I like Vince Dunn. I think he really needed a change of scenery, but Tarasenko would have been a pretty good choice. And you were saying that apparently the plan was to choose him and flip him.
Correct. So Tarasenko, from the sounds of it, wasn't going to want to play in Seattle. That was not a team that was going to be on his modified no-trade list. So the plan would have been for Seattle to take him and then flip him to one of those other teams, possibly at retained salary to, get a different return. Like you, I don't mind the Vince Dunn pick because I think he provides something that isn't particularly common in the rest of the defense that Seattle picked, as Vince Dunn is a bit more of an offensive presence. He can contribute a bit more on that side of the puck. But I still think that I would have taken Tarasenko and flipped him because you can use your cap space for assets. Whether you're getting a draft pick or you're getting, you know, a slightly better offensive defenseman than Vince Dunn, I think they could have gotten a little bit more with what they have if they had taken Tarasenko.
Yeah, that's a good point because they definitely could have got some picks or prospects or something for him to a team at retained salary. You know, that would have been an easier pill for a team to swallow with, you know, he makes 7.5 and he's a shooter and he has had multiple shoulder surgeries. And so that kind of puts that into question if he's going to be more of a passer.
Yeah.
Less so money makes more sense. So.
You don't want to take that big of a risk because there's not much cap space around the league right now, and you might not be able to take a Tarasenko risk at $7.5 million, but you could potentially do it at 3.75. So,
Yeah, this might have been a case of they weren't able to work out where he was going to land, and so Tarasenko said, no, I don't know. A bit of a missed opportunity there, but I do like Vince Dunn, and so I'm giving this one a B still because I think they did get a really good player still. With potential, and I think unlike some of the other defensemen that we've talked about, we've actually seen it from Vince Dunn. You know, he can score in the NHL. He can, you know, produce offense, and so I like this one. It seems like a more legitimate player to pick. So even though they missed out an opportunity perhaps of trading Tarasenko and getting some extra things, still did okay. Moving on, this one I don't like. This is the Tampa Bay Lightning. So they chose Yanni Gourde from the Tampa Bay Lightning. Yanni Gourde is 29. He plays center, and I think he also plays some wing. I know he
Gourde can play all three forward positions.
So he's on that really, really good line of Coleman, himself, and Goodrow, which was really, really great in playoffs the last couple of years. But he is also paid $5.16 million until the end of 2025, which I think is just atrocious for a bottom six forward. And so if the plan is to have him play in the top six, we don't know how he's going to do. If he's playing in the bottom six, that's a Garbo contract. I don't like it. I really thought that they were going to pick Andre Palat, who produces more points, born in the same year, makes a little bit more at $5.3 million instead of $5.1 million, and is only signed for one more year. And Palat's a passer. You know, he would have done really well with a guy like Tarasenko, if Tarasenko can shoot, or, you know, Eberle. Like I mentioned earlier, I think that would have been a cool line pairing. It would maybe would have been like the triplets that Tampa used to have. You know, Kucherov, Palat, and I can't remember the third one, but would have been kind of similar to that situation. So, yeah, and then there's also a bunch of defensemen who I think are more legitimate than some of the other ones that they drafted. You know, they got Cal Foote. Who would have been a really good pick as well. So,
yeah, I think Calfoot's a bit of a higher regarded prospect than some of the other ones they had taken.
Mm-hmm.
Which it also, taking Calfoot would have been a very spicy pick, because that wouldn't have given the Lightning any cap relief.
Yeah,
compared to the other main guys. So that would have given Tampa Bay another $5 million of cap hell to deal with.
Yeah, and then the other guy who was talked about a lot. There was two, actually. It was Alex Killorn, who is 31, makes $4.4 million, and is signed until the end of 2023, so one more year than Palat. And then Tyler Johnson, because I think he's from Washington, but there was no way they were going to pick him at $5 million until 2024 when he's 30. So, oh, Johnson, I think, was the other triplet. But, yeah, so I don't know. I don't like this one. I just think Gourde he's got a bad contract, and him and Palat are the same age, and Palat produces a lot more. Had like double the points in playoffs this season too. So, I don't know. I just don't understand where he's going to fit into the lineup. And so for this one, I give it a C. It's not quite a fail, because Gourde is still a good player, but it's just questionable to me, like, where he's going to play. So what are your thoughts on this one?
I'm in the same boat as you. I mean, Yanni Gourde has shown he can be a player with a very high ceiling. He put up 64 points back in 2017-18, but it's basically been downhill from there, where he goes from 64 to 48, then down to 30. Last season he bounced back, he had 36 points in 56 games. So the hope is that he continues that, especially because I foresee when he's back from injury. Because the other thing about this pick is that he's not supposed to be back in the lineup until mid-November. So he's recovered from shoulder surgery. But when he does get back, he's probably immediately going to be on that first line. So giving him a huge opportunity to be a major offensive contributor, a major offensive creator, the idea and hope is that he bounces back and gets back up to the 50-60 point level that he was at in the past. But I personally would have taken Palat, because Palat's been a lot more consistent over the years. Palat's also dropped down a little bit from the, you know, 50s where he was at before, but last season he's shown he can play with the best of the best. He spent a lot of time with Kucher, with Stamkos, with Braden Point, puts up 46 points in 55 games, and that's, you know, to get that level of potential production, someone who can drive a line, help complement players, I think that would have been a better pick for their offense. However, Yanni Gourde also plays center. That could have been a factor as well.
Yeah, for sure. All right, moving on to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Jared McCann was selected from them by Seattle.
Maple Leafs legend, Jared McCann. Don't do him dirty.
Lasted a long time. it's just funny that Dubas made the best trade in advance of the expansion draft to acquire McCann for a prospect. And what was it, like a fifth or sixth?
A prospect. So the prospect, I think it was Philip Hallander, was a guy that they acquired from Pittsburgh a couple of years ago. So they trade him back. So this guy's not really a part of their system. He's not a draft pick or anything. He's just kind of, you know, a trade acquisition. So they flip him back to Pittsburgh with a seventh for the guy that's going to protect their entire, you know, their entire other roster, whether it be Alex Kerfoot, who is projected to be taken, or Travis Dermott, or Justin Hall.
Yeah, Seattle, take notes. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Things like this.
Yeah, so that was the, you know, trade of the day. That was actually some 4D chess there.
Yeah, like, so basically he made it, he brought a more appealing player in for free, essentially, so that nobody got picked that they didn't want to lose. So, yeah, I mean, and then Seattle just bought it. Like, they just totally did it.
Yeah.
And so,
I mean, and then the other thing too, from Pittsburgh's perspective, is I think McCann was the guy who was going to be taken anyways. That, so they probably, Pittsburgh just probably exposed and lost Brandon Tanev because they traded for whatever that was from Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah. So, bit of a weird one for Pittsburgh to accept that trade, but for Toronto, it worked like a charm. You love it when a plan comes together. And so, you know, they get to keep Kerfoot, they get to keep Dermott, they got to keep a bunch of guys. So, you know, if I was Seattle, I probably would have looked at Dermott quite heavily because he's super cheap. I mean, he does do weird spinorama moves in playoffs that lead to overtime loss goals, but, you know, he's a really cheap, serviceable bottom pairing guy. I don't know. I do like Jared McCann. Jared McCann played up and down the lineup in Pittsburgh. I don't think he ever quite kind of found a stable, consistent line. But, you know, there was a lot of injuries in Pittsburgh.
That's a testament to his versatility, that he's able to jump around like that. His underlying numbers last season had him among the best of the best in the time that he did play. I picked him up in fantasy for spurts through the last half of the season when he was playing, and he was consistently putting up goals and assists. He was doing stuff on the ice. So this will be a good offensive pick for them, and we'll see if he can kind of take another step forward with his game.
Yeah. So for that one, I don't know. I give it a B. I just think it's funny that Seattle just, like, you know, hook, line, and sinker bit the bait. Like, they just took it. And it's like, that's nothing wrong with that.
I don't think they were too upset.
But it's just funny that it worked perfectly for Toronto.
Yeah, I feel like this is a better outcome for Seattle anyways, to get
two players,
you
know, off of
basically
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Yeah, because I would have taken McCann over Kerfoot or Dermott or Hall.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah, so all things considered, worked out okay. And then from the Vancouver Canucks, which was the instant rivalry with Seattle, they chose Cole Lind, so prospect, 22 years old, plays right wing. He's an RFA in need of a new contract. I think he's got very, very limited NHL time, if any, actually. Let's just take a quick peek.
7 games, no points.
Yeah, so, definitely an AHL guy, but... has done quite well in the AHL. Did really well in junior too. So, out of the prospects, I think this is a good pick because he's young enough that he could still turn into a really good player for them. And there wasn't really any, like, super great options from the Canucks. In my mock draft, I chose Zach MacEwen as, like, a, you know, fourth line center kind of guy, energy guy. But they already had, you know, better options for that. And, you know, I don't think they wanted Holtby with his contract. I think it made sense on the Canucks to choose a younger guy.
Yeah, so with Holtby, I think his contract is a bit backloaded as well. They kind of expansion draft proofed him. so he gets paid a lot more.
Which really,
or he gets paid more in the second season than the first one.
They really shouldn't have done it that way, because
I mean, maybe Holtby wanted the stability. Maybe he didn't want to go to Seattle. Maybe. But let's like there's better goalies on the market anyways.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, Holtby to draft him, they wouldn't have had much trade value back. So I don't think he's gonna fetch a whole lot at this point. And the goalies that they have that they're icing now are probably better for now and for a couple years down the road. Like you said, Vancouver did not have a whole lot of appealing options there. I mean, the man, the myth, the legend, Louis Erickson was available, but that's not going to happen. Yeah. Personally, I took Jonah Gajewicz in my mock draft. Basically, a very similar situation as Cole, and they're both 22-year-old winger prospects. That's probably your best bet from Vancouver is to just take one of those guys and see what happens.
Yeah. And from the Washington Capitals, they chose Vitek Vanacek. You know, for all the reasons we mentioned that they should have chosen Kakinen, they chose Vitek. Vitek had a great season. You know, it was kind of thrust upon him because Lundqvist was out. I was nervous, but he definitely showed up and did very well. I think out of you know, the players available, this gets an A for me. But there was some interesting options available as well. There's a lot of defensemen available. So Justin Schultz, right-handed defenseman, Brendan Dillon, Nick Jensen, Michael Kempney. Kempney didn't play last season, but still good defenseman on a pretty cheap deal. And then they also had Connor Sherry available. And Connor Sherry is a guy that scores goals. You know, he got 14 goals last season. So, I mean, he could have been a guy that, you know, he played up and down the lineup, him and a few other players in the Caps. But he would have been an interesting pick because he's on a cheap deal for two more years. So it definitely would have been trade bait, I think, if it didn't do well, and could have been a guy that, you know, really could have done well on a new team with a bit bigger of a role. But all things considered, I do like the Vitek Vanacek pick, and it hurts to see him go. But I think for the Capitals, they can really target a guy like Peter Mrazek or, you know, some of the other goalies that are available to kind of back up Samsonov. So I'm okay with that. What did you think about this one?
I think they got the best player they could off of Washington. I'm not personally overly high on a lot of the defenders available. I think the only one that I would have really taken is Brendan Dillon, but Dillon seems to kind of fit the same thing again, where he's like that second, third pairing physical defender that probably Carson Soucy and Jamie Oleksiak fill that role better. So they're better off taking Vanacek because he's just shown he can be a solid goalie who basically, you know, took on a large role to get the Capitals to the playoffs this season when Samsonov was out for various reasons. So they're going to have a solid 1B to go alongside Chris Driedger. And I think that's probably the best option they could have gotten in this situation.
And last but not least, from the Winnipeg Jets, Seattle Kraken chose winger Mason Appleton. And I like this pick. I really thought they were going to pick Dylan DeMello as a right-handed defenseman on a really good deal for $3 million until 2024. But Appleton is a really good forward that's kind of been getting some more opportunity in Winnipeg, and I think could do quite well in Seattle, you know, if everything goes right for him. And so I like this. There's one more year until he needs a new contract. And so, you know, see what you got in this new system. So yeah, I like this one. I think it gets an A for me because I think that the easy choice was DeMello, but you know, there's a lot of defensemen available. So I think picking Appleton makes sense. What did you think about this one?
I fully agree. I think Mason Appleton has the potential to be one of those one of those random midline forwards that does really, really well in this new system and this new team. He showed the potential to be capable of moving up in the lineup this past year when Winnipeg was dealing with all their forwards, their forward cycling and injuries, and Appleton came in and kind of took the hockey world by storm a little bit. He was quite a noticeable impact player up in the North Division. And, you know, much like Vegas had a bunch of those middle guys like Tuck and Noshik and Halla come in and have good years, you know, well above what they might be able to put up in other systems, I feel like Mason Appleton could fit that role quite a bit. So he's going to get a chance in the middle of Seattle's forwards, probably even potentially up on the second line for a bit. And it'll be a good spot for him.
All right. So that's all of the selections that they've made. So overall, with the expansion draft, how would you rate it for Seattle?
Slightly below average. I think they missed out. They left a lot of value on the table, unless they've got some deals working out over the next couple of days. Great, you know, keeping in mind we're recording this right after the expansion draft. So we'll see what happens, but I think they got a bunch of good players, but they left a lot of value on the table, and that's going to really hurt them if they're trying to compete in this first season. We'll see. Maybe, you know, it looks to me like their goal is to either tank for a couple of seasons and work on building up the prospect system through the draft, or they're going to go and spend their, what, $25 million of cap space in free agency and try and bring some bigger, higher quality names to the team from that.
Yeah, maybe they're trying to do the, NHL 2021 trade a bunch of guys to add up to the value of Jack Eichel and then bring him in as your your big name guy.
Here's 12 third line forwards in a first round pick.
Yeah.
Give us Eichel.
Here's all the non-roster guys. Here's John Quinneville and Alex True, Morgan Geeky, and Gavin Bayreuther. And the second overall pick for Jack Eichel. Give us that. Yeah, I don't know. I would agree. It's definitely a below average, in my opinion, expansion. There was just a lot of head scratchers. And if that rumor of there was no trades beforehand ends up being true, that's pretty bad. Just seems like, yeah, I get that other general managers in the league were probably hesitant to make those types of deals after what happened with Vegas. But, I mean, you've got so much leverage. Like, there's so many good players available. You could, like, just ask, like, hey, we're going to take this guy unless you give us a fourth-round pick or prospect. Like, nobody bid on that at all, like, out of 30 teams. That seems a bit remiss to miss out on that opportunity. So we'll see in the next few days that, you know, if anything comes out about any of those sorts of handshake deals that may or may not be in place. But yeah, I'm right there with you, Sean. If there's none of those, that this is a really poor showing by Seattle, I think. And I mean, it seems dumb to say this, but like, I know people said this about Vegas, but I mean, what are the chances of that happening again with a team that looks crappy on paper, but you know, everything aligns and they turn into a Stanley Cup finalist in the year one. Yeah. But with this roster, like, it's hard to see it, and everyone's looking for that right now.
The interesting thing to me is looking at some of the more analytical based Twitter accounts. All their models seem to be predicting that this will actually turn out to be a decent team. So it's clear what direction Seattle as an organization is taking, where they're really heavily leaning into analytics-based decision-making. And it'll be interesting to see how this ends up competing on paper. If they can find, you know, if they can find the right system that matches these guys, then maybe they'll end up competing. Because let's be honest, the Pacific is really weak right now. With all three California teams rebuilding, Vancouver, who knows where they are, Calgary's hit and miss, Edmonton, who knows what they're going to be like after this offseason. They really only have Vegas to worry about. So it could realistically end up with this team in the playoffs just because the rest of the division sucks.
That's true. But they do have Hextall as a coach.
Yeah. This is one thing I forgot to mention. That pick from Philly, Carson Twierenski, was familiar with Hakstol from the time in Philly. So I feel like this was one where Hakstol was super high on this guy through training camps because of his work ethic or whatever, and that probably influenced the decision on that.
Probably. Although Francis really should have been like, yeah, shut up. We're taking JVR. I don't know. I mean, it's tough to see until you see them on the ice and what the lines look like and everything. But like,
and who can step up? Because looking at the lineup, they've got a whole bunch of guys who are going to be thrust into roles that are bigger than what they've had before, or bigger than they were used to. I mean, Jared McCann's going to be given a top six forward role consistently. Jordan Eberle is going to be a first line right winger, you know, the go to offensive guy. Colin Blackwell is going to be given a bigger role offensively. Mason Appleton's going to have the chance to work for more. So it'll be interesting to see which of these guys can win these spots and, you know, take advantage of the bigger opportunity.
Yeah, it's just tough to see a lineup. I mean, the defense, I think, is good. The goaltending obviously makes sense, but the forwards is just tough to see top six. And, like, with the Vegas expansion, Marchessault and Riley Smith were both, you know, pretty established, having good careers. William Karlsson was obviously a huge surprise, but they did have, like, James Neal, you know,
David Perron.
So they had some established guys that could score. And in this lineup, you know, you've got a lot of those secondary type players, but
yeah, your biggest name is Jordan Eberle.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that, you know, they obviously aren't done doing anything, but I really think they need some help up front. And they've got a lot of cap space, so I would, you know, some of these guys might not be here when they play opening night. So, you know, I think that they're probably looking to make a bit of a splash and to sign some big UFA or something. And, you know, maybe they're not done talking to Gabe Landeskog. Maybe they're not done talking to Dougie Hamilton. You know, they can still try and sign some of those guys and make some trades and. You know, they have a lot of defensemen, and there's always teams looking for D-men. So we'll see. But, you know, they really could have done themselves a huge favor by picking guys like Tarasenko and Kekkonen. So if their plan is to trade, like, they could have been more set up for that. So it just doesn't make sense now. Maybe they've got an absolutely genius master plan. With a bunch of stuff in place, but it's tough to see that right now.
That wraps things up for this time here on Clappercast. Make sure you rate and review this episode and toss a follow or subscribe our way. For more content, you can follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Clappercast Media or on Twitter at Clappercast. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll be back next week with more hockey talk.